You guys have a great environment this week to be singing that song while you're out running around. Draw attention. So while we're singing that song, there's a spider web going from the ceiling down to over here. You ever seen light just shine through a spider web and how it like, it's almost like magical how it glistens? Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? Okay. You guys ever been out where you're actually out on the lake or out on the water and you just see the water just ripple and the sun hit off of it and it looks like crystals? Tell me that's not awesome. Okay. And last night, I don't know what you guys were seeing, but that moon in the sky, oh, so good. So good. So you guys this week had this really cool opportunity to be able to experience God's creation in a new way, maybe perhaps a way you haven't seen. So while you're walking back to cabin at night, stop, pause, take a deep breath, lift your eyes up towards the heavens, and thank the Lord for what he's given you. There was actually, I don't know who it was this morning, was mentioning something about is it smoky outside, the pollen blowing off the trees, and how just kind of just this cool, oh, it's so good. So that being said, I want to encourage you guys to take some time today and get out in creation. Don't just be focused on others and activities, but on what God's given us today. All right, quick review. Maybe I'll come back up here. Quick review from last night from Hebrews chapter 11. You guys want to grab your Bibles with me. Hebrews chapter 11. And quick review. What is faith? Faith is believing something you cannot see, but you know it's true, okay? So the idea behind it is believing in God for what you cannot see, okay? It's believing God for what you cannot see, and according to verse 2, it says this is what the ancients, people who lived a really long time ago, who walked with God, this is what they were applauded for, okay? I understand you guys are just waking up. Some people don't think much good can happen before 10 o'clock in the morning. So this is what the ancients were applauded for, commended for. Yeah! And it's exactly, we covered that, it's exactly what they were applauded for, trusting God for what they could not see. And then we went down to verse 6, and it says this, that without faith, it's really hard to please God. Is that what it said? No. What did it say? It's impossible. It's impossible. It's not really, really hard. It's impossible. And it says this, that what is it that you have to believe that you cannot see? Number one, God exists. And what else? He does what? He rewards you for earnestly seeking him, the God that you cannot see. Okay? So we're going to pick it up in verse 3 today. And we're going to read verses 3 through 6, and we're going to march through that. And then I have a special guest with us today, and I think you guys really enjoy his presence when he comes up here in a few minutes, okay? All right, let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. We submit to you by hearing and applying what you teach us. And I pray that during our few moments here this morning, you would grow our faith, help us to understand what pleases you in this life. Help us to trust you for what we cannot see. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So the question I have for you is this. We're going to be covering the very first thing that you have to believe God for what you cannot see. The very first thing we have to believe that we cannot see. How did we get here? How did the world get here? And we're going to discover that people have been making up their own ideas of how the world got here. From very early on, and evolution is actually one of the more recent theories that people have come up with to try to come up with an idea of how the world came to exist. But we're going to find something very different in the Bible. Here we go. Chapter 11, verse 3. How did we get here? Verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was made out of what is, so that what was seen is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks as though he's dead. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So let's jump back to verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed. How? What's that say? It was formed by God's command. God spoke it into existence, and he says, just in case you're having doubts about it, he spoke it into existence out of stuff not already made. So it came from him very directly. So in case we're wondering, how did we get here? We can very much conclude from that verse that we what? We came from the Lord, right? We came from God himself. All right, keep reading with me. In verse 4, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did, and by faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. If you're not really familiar with the Bible, we're going to cover tonight the very first two people that God created on this earth. Their name is Adam and Eve, okay? And they did quickly sin, and they end up sinning, and they end up breaking a relationship with God, and God gave them some children down the road, right? You guys know that? And they had two children at first, named Cain and Abel. All right. And the story goes, it's in chapter 4 of Genesis. It's a true story, right? One brother rose up and killed the other brother out of jealousy that God accepted his gift to God. Now, it seems kind of weird. You'll see accepted as sacrifice. When people sinned against God at chapter 3, they realize, oh my goodness, I'm naked. And God actually took an animal, killed it, and made coverings for them so that they could be covered for their nakedness. And God set this up in a way that there would be something that would take their place so that they could have a temporary covering. Well, obviously, God's worked it out with Cain and Abel, that God set it up and said, this is what I want you to do. You have to trust me. Something has to die in your place as a temporary covering for your sin. Well, it says that Abel, by faith, offered that, saying, well, this is the way God wants me to come to him. I'm going to trust him. Well, the brother got angry or jealous of his brother. He rose up and murdered him out in the field, okay? And he's saying his faith, Abel's faith, still speaks today. He trusted God for what God wanted, and it says his faith is still speaking. Then in verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. There was a guy who actually was taken from this earth before he died. Isn't that cool? And why was he taken from this earth? He didn't experience death. He was commended as righteous, right with God. But the following verse tells you how he was made right with God. How is it? By faith. So Enoch had this walk with God where he trusted God step by step, walking with him. And God actually said, enough of this business. Come home to be with me. Isn't that cool? That's true. That actually happened. All right. So we see in verse 3, by faith we believe that the universe was formed and we were spoken into existence. By faith, Abel brought a sacrifice to God, coming to him the way God designed. And then Enoch, by faith, walked with God by faith, and God took him from the earth. And then repeating verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, According to verse 3, we got here by God speaking the world into existence, and faith believes that the universe is formed that way. And last night I talked to you guys about how faith, we're faith beings. We trust things all the time that we cannot see. But God, in his loving kindness, has given us some pretty cool things to help us know who he is. In fact, I want to turn real quick. What did I say last night? It was mentioned 19 times in the book of chapter 11. Yeah, by faith. In chapter 1, when God wants us to know something very clearly, he repeats himself. In chapter 1 of Genesis, the very first chapter in the Bible, I'm going to use a phrase that every time I see it, I'm going to repeat it. Here we go. Here it goes. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness is over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from the water. Verse 8, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered in one place. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky. Verse 20, and God said, let the water teem with living creatures. Verse 24, and God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. Verse 26, then God said, let's make human beings in our image. What did you guys hear me say? Then God said. Does that confirm what we just read in Hebrews chapter 11? In Hebrews chapter 11, that God spoke the world into existence, and in chapter 1 of Genesis, God said. So he made it by his word, and we know that because that's what he says. We know that by faith. Believing that God made the universe takes faith. Why? You can't. You weren't there. Okay? So, check it out again. You guys, let me know. Believing that God made the universe takes faith. Why? I didn't hear anybody clear. We weren't there. Okay? Believing evolution that is taught in many of your schools takes faith. Why? You weren't there, okay? So we find that if we do not believe that God made this world, we can come up with or make up something else, but bottom line, it takes faith because we weren't there. But God in his loving kindness and his goodness and his desire to be in relationship with us has given us all sorts of things that just point like arrows to a loving God who made us. I have my friend Mike. Michael, come on up. Michael Lane has dedicated his life and ministry to help people know the Lord through what is seen in creation. So I got him coming up. I have a 5-minute stopwatch. I would like everybody to kind of scoot to the edge of their seats, off your backs. And I have actually asked him if he would take 5. I got a 5-minute timer on this thing, okay? Take 5, and he's going to try to fit in all the different ways that we can see there is a loving God who made this world, who made you, who spoke this world into existence. I'm going to give you a quiz afterwards. So you better listen. You guys with me? All right. As he speaks, I want you to ask this question. Is there proof in this world that there is a God? He made me and he loves me. Ready, set, go.
Hello, I am a biologist. I am a published scientist. I am working here at Fort now, but I'm going to tell you, I have faith because of what the evidence that I can see that God has given us. Now, God has made us all sorts of evidence that he exists. One of the most amazing things that he has given us is the Word himself, the Word of God. Do you know that there has never been a provable archaeological discovery that goes against the Bible? Not one, but there are over tens of thousands of archaeological evidences that have been found, artifacts and things things and names and places that fit the Bible 100%. It is absolutely amazing. And people say, oh, science says that there is no God. What about the science of archaeology? It is constantly pointing to the Bible. But there's more. As I said, I'm a biologist. I get into things like cells. Ooh, love cells. I love you guys brought your cells here today. Like, stand up, sir. Yes, right there. Stand up. Here's about 10 trillion cells right there. Thank you. Sit back down. And it is amazing to see these different cells. Plant cells. Do you know what's going on inside of a plant cell? You see those little green discs? I mean, this whole thing here, this is a cell. That's one cell. And inside there, you have those little green discs called chloroplasts. They're factories. They used to think for a long time that cells, until just a little over 100 years ago, that cells were like water balloons, that there was just a membrane with a bunch of chemicals and water in there. Oh, boy, was that wrong? Because cells have all sorts of things going on. They're factories. Inside of a cell, there's tens of thousands of reactions, chemical reactions taking place every hundredth of a second. No wonder you're tired. That's a lot of work that each one of your cells have to do. And if you look at like cheek cells, these are cells right out of your cheek. You take a look at these things, it's amazing that the evidence is pointing to God. Do you know, I can take any one of these cells out of any one of you by looking at it under a microscope. I will be able to tell you if you're male or female. You can see that on here. You can dress whatever you like, but I'm telling you, I can tell, take any cell and tell you if you're male or female. And the thing is, you see the dot there? That's a nucleus. Inside that nucleus, there's all sorts of things going on. And there's DNA, and there's so much evidence, but there's more. Each cell produces, whoa, what is this thing? Oh, I need help. Please stand up, you two gals. Stand up. Hold that up. That's a chart. This is showing roughly what takes place inside of a cell every 10,000th of a second. It's a flow chart. It starts with the different food you eat over here, works through all these different chemical reactions. You're seeing the same thing up on the screen. It is amazing, all the different things going on inside of a cell. The thing is, you can see a plan. You can see a design. You see the design here? It's a flow chart. You guys work with flow charts? That's a flow chart. And the thing is, how do you make a flow chart? It takes intelligence. And that's what we have. You can sit down, just set that down. We have so many different things to show you about cells and how many tens of thousands reactions and all the chemicals that have to be placed. It's amazing. And it's all controlled by DNA. DNA is an amazing molecule. It's a language. DNA is actually one of the greatest pieces of evidence that there is a God because it's a language, a binary language that you find inside of cells. And you can create everything out of the cell by this DNA. It is the language of God. As Dr. Francis Collins wrote about it. It is a language, and it tells us everything about the cell. But how do you make a language? Did you ever pass notes in school? Of course you did. How'd you do that? You had to think about it. Make a secret code? How'd you do that? You had to come up with a secret code. You had to think about it. This is a language. It's a DNA. It's a language. It's made by an intelligence. DNA shouts the existence of God because it is a language of life. Morse code, you can write the entire encyclopedia using Morse code, using three symbols. DNA does it with four, A, T, C, G. And you can come up with everything about you and about every living thing from this. But how do you get a language? A language takes intelligence. You have to have intelligence. This shouts that this didn't happen by random chance. This was something that was designed. It was something that was put together. This language. Oh, here's a language. How many of you can read this right now? Obviously no one, because if you could, you'd be standing up and touching your nose. This is Egyptian hieroglyphics. No one can read that, right? But you know something? It took a language to do it. This is a sign of evidence. If you have a language, you have intelligence. Look at this, Mount Rushmore. Oh, isn't it amazing how some people would say, look, what erosion did over millions of years? Oh, really? That is an artist at work. There was a mind behind it. There's a designer. There's a design that took place. Or look at the Crazy Horse Monument. Is it still being made? Oh, look what water erosion did over a long period of time. Really? It's an intelligence behind that. No. Or look what happened when the tide walked out or washed out of the ocean and just left that beautiful design. I don't think so. It took an intelligence, a mind behind this. You take a look at a thing like this called the Rosetta Stone. It has three languages actually written on it. Oh, look what water erosion did by a creek over a long period of time. I don't think so, because this shows signs of intelligence. If you have a language, you have intelligence. This is a little piece of jewelry by Queen Jezebel in the Bible. Actually has her name written on it in letters. Her name. Yes, the real Queen Jezebel. This is hers. And I took a photograph of that. Or look what happened. Well, you put a whole pile of paint in a building. We had an earthquake. Whoa, look what happened. Amazing.
Freeze.
All by chance.
Freeze. Did you guys hear him so far? I'm going to give him one more minute. Ready, set?
Get your tongue going.
You better, here you go. Go.
Go. okay, every one of these things has intelligence. And how do you get intelligence? I'll tell you, it's a mind behind it. We see an evidence of God. You ever look at a snowflake up close? There's a design. You ever look at the universe? There's a design. You ever look at a seed germinating? Whoa, there's a design. You ever see this little foraminiferin, little things living in the ocean? There's a design. There's designs in all these. The cilia and paramecium, a design. You ever have a blood clot form? You ever get cut? How did that happen? There is a design. It's amazing. Take dominoes, set them up in a row. You knock them down. You ever have an earthquake in a domino factory and they all set up in a beautiful design? No, it takes intelligence to build all this. Look at a painting. You can see that there is a painter who is doing this. You look outside at the nature all around us. There is evidence that there is a designer. Here's something amazing. This was just that last week. Dr. Michio Kaku, theoretical physicist, considered one of the most intelligent people in the world, he said this. Last week, I have concluded that we live in a world made by rules and created by an intelligence, not by chance. And you know, I know who that intelligence is. Because we sang about him this morning, and it is God.
There you go. Thanks, Mike. So, what did you just hear? We know the world was made and designed and spoken into existence by God. How? What? That's what I'm talking about. Evidence. What'd you hear? Let's go. Yes, yeah, so primarily the first thing is the word of God was written and there's no evidence against it, for sure. Next, what else? What'd you hear? Shout, right here. Yes, all these languages, the beauty of it. It's a product of an intelligent mind creating and designing, for sure. What else? Yes. Yeah. How God can put an actual DNA, it's a language that creates you. It's pretty cool, right? Somebody else, shout it out. Yep, keep going. What else? Everything, what things did you see in there that had a design that just was like, wow, that can't happen by accident? You what? Cuts. What about cuts? You don't bleed to death. Why? There's a design to clot that blood. Yes. Isn't that amazing? Somebody can sit, look at the cells of your cheek and tell if you were a male or female. That is cool. What else? I know. Wait, boys, did you hear anything or is your head still spinning? Yes. Oh, there's so much intelligent design when it comes to the ocean, for sure. In fact, when you guys get in late high school, you guys can go on a marine biology trip. Sweet opportunity to discover that, for sure, here at Fort Wilderness. Actually, Michael does that as well. Okay, what else? What did you hear in that 5 minutes? Anything else? Yes. You what? Isn't that cool? That's just not just this balloon. It's this reaction's continually moving. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes. Isn't it cool how they continue unearthing all these ancient stuff and it just keeps verifying the fact that God's word is true? It doesn't disprove anything. It just keeps verifying and keep solidifying that God's word can be trusted. All right, so I asked Mike to come and share with you. If you get an opportunity to get to the Nature Center, you'll hear a whole lot more. I'd encourage you this week, as you get in the creation, go in there and ask the people in there, hey, what are some things I can discover this week to get to know God better? So I had him share that because this, God in his loving kindness has given us all sorts of things that are signs that flash. I made you, I made everything, and I made you for relationship. But at the base of it all, according to Hebrews chapter 11, how do we know that God made the world? By faith. Check that out. We have all this evidence pointing to Creator, but we have to simply trust. With all the evidence, we have to come and say, God, I didn't see you make it all, but I trust you for what I cannot see. And what is it that pleases God? Faith. Trusting God for what we cannot see. Let's pray. Our Father, we trust that you are the great designer. I trust that you spoke this world into existence. We trust that you didn't need things to create other things, but things originate in you. They start with you. I pray for my friends today that as they get out in creation and they experience you, whether at the waterfront and they see your son dance off the water, or they watch dragonflies go through the air, they see the pollen come off the trees, or while they're shooting down at the gun range, they see the sand dance when the bullets go into the bunker. And Lord, just all these things, and they see the intelligent design of those in the kitchen making food that tastes so good, that goes into our stomachs, that creates a joy in our mind. And Lord, just there's so many things. I pray that these students today would say in their heart, I know there is a God. He is good and can be trusted, and I choose to love him because of his goodness. Lord, this is our first act of faith. We trust that you made us, you made this world, and our existence is dependent upon you. Thank you for the gift of this day. In your name we pray. Amen.